Amen. Wasn't that an amazing worship? We are in a series called Holy Spirit is Our Helper. I can see the Holy Spirit really moving through the worship. Thank you, Brother Daniel and Hosanna. Good morning, Woodbridge Church and our viewers online. My name is Sunny Talry and I'm the Missions Chairman at Woodbridge Family Church. Let us stand as we read God's Word. John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, this is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will testify about me, and you will testify also because you have been with me from the beginning. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them away. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. Let us pray. Father God, we come into your presence this morning to open our hearts and minds to you. Maker of heaven and earth, you rule over all the nations. As we think of our unfailing, eternal, enduring love, we look forward for the day when we will worship you in eternity. Your throne will be surrounded by people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, and all testifying that you have remained faithful. We will all see that you have kept every single promise you made. We will all see your goodness and grace. We will all be transformed by your glory. We ask that we would glimpse that glorious future as we gather today. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. A Jewish father was concerned about his son, who was about a year away from his bar mitzvah, but was sorely lacking in his knowledge of the Jewish faith. To remedy this, he sent his son to Israel to experience his heritage. A year later, the young man returned home. He said, "Father, thank you for sending me to the land of our fathers. It was wonderful. However, I must confess that while in Israel, I converted to Christianity." The father said, "Oh no, what have I done?" So in the tradition of the patriarchs, he went to his best friend and sought his advice and solace. His friend sadly shook his head and said, "It is amazing that you should come to me. I too sent my son to Israel and he returned a Christian." So in the traditions of the patriarchs, they went to the rabbi. And the rabbi wept. "It is amazing that you should come to me too. I too sent my son to Israel and he returned a Christian. What is happening to our sons? Brothers, we must take this to the Lord." They fell to their knees and began to wail and pour out their hearts to the Almighty. As they were praying, the clouds above opened and a mighty voice stated, "Amazing that you should come to me. I too sent my son to Israel." David Livingston quoted this, "God had an only son and he made him a missionary." Many times we forget the first missionary was Jesus Christ. The first three chapters in the book of Acts talks about missions. In Acts 1, we read that the Savior went up. In Acts 2, we read that the Spirit came down. In Acts 3, we read that the saints went out. The Savior went up, the Spirit came down, the saints went out. When Jesus went up, the only thing he had on his mind was missions. You read any of the Gospels, the last words of Jesus is always talking about missions. He came as a missionary from heaven that he might make us missionaries for heaven. This morning I would like to focus on our missions. We do Mission Sunday every year to bring awareness to our congregation about the 30 missionaries this church supports. 100% of your mission support reaches to the far ends of this earth. Some of them are here with us this morning and you can recognize them wearing lace. You may ask why this church supports those many missionaries. Because of this book that we believe in, the Bible. This book, we say, is the infallible word of God, teaches that the local church is to take on the whole world. Jesus did it with 12 people. And that was way before we had cell phones or computers or televisions. He did it with 12 men. In Acts 13, we have Paul and Barnabas called out from the church at Antioch to be missionaries. In verse 3, it tells us the people had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them and then sent them away. These are our first recorded missionaries. Just for your information, you will not find the word missionary or missions anywhere in the Bible. The word mission comes from a Latin word meaning to throw or let go or send. And that's what we do, don't we? We follow God's command. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, He said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. It is the job of the local church like ours to commission men and women to carry the gospel to the regions beyond. So what is a missionary? You can see it in your notes. I put the definition of a missionary based on the North American Missionary Board, which defines a missionary as a person who, in response to God's calling and gifting, leaves his or her comfort zone and crosses cultural, geographic, other barriers to proclaim the gospel and live out a Christian witness in obedience to the Great Commission. Missionaries are not born, they are made. They are made out of the ordinary round of individuals like us. The basic qualification is not intellectualism, but a yielded spirit, a devotion to the will of God, and a deep sense of a divine call. As you heard Pastor Frank keep saying this, church is not a building we sit in, but a movement we become part of. I want to repeat this again. Church is not a building we sit in, but a movement we become part of. Every Christian is on a mission, but we are not being called to be cross-cultural missionaries. For the past few weeks, we are going through a series called The Holy Spirit, Your Helper. Last week, Pastor Frank spoke about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This morning, I want us to look at how the Holy Spirit plays its part in a missionary's journey. If you can look at your notes, you can follow me. The first one is the Holy Spirit gives them the strength and the power. Have you ever wondered how a missionary is able to accomplish the things he or she does? How does he or she do it? I mean, learn another language or two, adjusting to a foreign culture, overcoming the hardships of a new environment, sometimes building a church with his or her bare hands, fighting all diseases and illnesses. Where do they get their power? Here's a picture of David Livingstone, the famous missionary to Africa. This is a picture of David Livingstone's statue at Victoria Falls in Africa. He said, O Jesus, grant me resignation to thy will and entire reliance on thy powerful hand. In his book, The Pathfinder of Africa, Eugene Harrison wrote of David Livingstone and his adventures through the wilderness. Quote, they had many harrowing adventures, but finally after journeying for more than 6 months by canoe, oxback and on foot, through forest and flooded rivers, in peril from wild beasts and savage men, for 1,500 miles of jungles which no white man had ever traversed before, Livingstone and his men came to Luanda on the west coast. He had suffered 31 attacks of intermittent fever, had been assailed by huge swarms of fierce mosquitoes, and was reduced to a bag of bones. Yet he staggered on. End of quote. Why was this man able to do the seeming impossible, to ford rivers, cross deserts, endure an environment of hostile savages and wild beasts? There was one reason. He had the strength and power of God upon his life. Pastor Graham gave me a good note this a couple of days ago about David Livingstone. After his death on May 1st, 1873, the other members of his expedition team embalmed his body and buried his heart near a tree on which they carved a simple memorial. They carried him to the coast, an epic journey that lasted 9 months. His body finally reached England, and on 18th April 1874, Livingstone was buried in Westminster Abbey. Do you know why his heart was removed and buried in Africa? Because his heart was in Africa. The Apostle Paul, that great missionary of the first century, said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me, in Philippians 4:13. Please take down the notes. The Holy Spirit supplies this power. Herein lies the key, the strength of the power of God. King David said in Psalm 71, verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. The scripture that we just read, Acts 1:8, says, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. 1. The Lord committed to his followers the task of evangelizing the world. But clearly and emphatically, he told them that they had the power to fulfill this great commission only when they had received the Holy Spirit. Power is in every sphere of work, the one and all important requisite. Even more, this is true with the church's mission. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. We need a supernatural power against a supernatural enemy, and only the Holy Spirit can supply this power. The second note is the power or strength of God is not exclusive to missionaries, but is available to each one of us. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, You will receive. It did say only missionaries will receive it. Every one of us will receive this power. Paul and Barnabas knew what we know, and that is that the word of God is not only our defense against the enemy, but God's word is also our comfort and our strength for every trial and for every need. When Paul was imprisoned at Rome, he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 13, When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. He's basically asking for his scriptures. The greatest thing of comfort to Paul in his hour of need was God's word. It is interesting to know that all the armor of God which Paul speaks of in Ephesians 6, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is the only offensive piece without which you can never win a battle. The rest of the things that he talks about in Ephesians 6 is all defensive. Just as giving without love is dead, as the body without the Spirit is dead, a missionary equipment without the power of the Holy Spirit is dead. The Lord thought so much of this power from high that he even forbade his disciples to begin their mission before they were equipped with their divine supply. As I said, we may not be called upon to leave our surroundings or travel to a distant land. We too need the strength of God. Let us be encouraged this morning in knowing that God's strength is available to each one of us. It is therefore logical for us to say that missions began with the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. The second way that the Holy Spirit helps is it gives them comfort. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10 verse 16, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. When sheep are placed among wolves, we know what happens. Paul said in Romans 8:36, As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. A few years ago, we showed a movie called Least of These Things based on a missionary, Graham Staines. Graham and Gladys Staines were missionaries from Australia serving in the Indian state of Odisha. On January 22, 1999, Staines attended a jungle camp in Manoharpur, which was an annual gathering for Christians in the area, to congregate for a conference and discuss their beliefs in a social setting. He was traveling to another village with his sons, who were on a break from their school, when they decided to take a night halt from the journey towards the jungle camp, and elected to spend the night in Manoharpur sleeping in the vehicle due to the severe cold at the time. His wife Gladys and daughter did not accompany them on the journey, having decided to remain behind in the town. A mob of about 50 people, armed with axes and other weapons, attacked the vehicle while Staines and his sons were fast asleep, and set the station wagon alight, trapping them inside and burning them to death. Staines and his sons had awakened and apparently tried to escape, but were prevented from doing so by the angry mob. This is what Gladys said. In her statement on the death of her husband and two sons, Gladys Staines said this, quote, The Lord God is always with me to guide me. and to help me to try to accomplish the work of Graham. But I sometimes wonder why Graham was killed and what made his assassins behave in such a brutal manner on the night of 22nd January 1999. It is far from my mind to punish the persons who were responsible for the death of my husband Graham and my two children, but it is my desire and hope that they would repent and be reformed. End of quote. Pages cannot possibly contain all the stories of the suffering and heartache endured by God's people down through the centuries. Indian Christians are going through a tough time right now. The Indian government wants to pass a resolution against conversion on November 14th of this year. Those who convert and those who get converted will face 20 years of prison term. Actually, my brother Daniel, he just came back from Sacramento where he had held a peaceful protest for the persecution that's been happening in his home state in India. And he's planning on having another peaceful protest in front of the in Los Angeles, if I'm right. Things are happening and we are not aware of it. The two things about the sacrifice, you know. It is needful. The first point is it is needful. We may never be called upon to give our lives, as others have, but certainly God expects us to be willing to sacrifice. So what things do we need to sacrifice? Let's look at our notes. We may need to sacrifice our will. It shouldn't be, what do I want to do with my life? Rather, it should be, what does God want me to do with my life? Secondly, we may need to sacrifice our time. There is so much going on in this church. The missions, the youth ministry, music, nursery, prayer rooms, video and sound teams, hospitality, the errands to run. It goes and on and on and on. What do we need? We need people who are willing to give some time, people who are willing to put the Lord's work above their own. Are you willing to sacrifice some time? Be a part of the missions committee. See and hear the stories of what the Lord is doing in different parts of the world. See how our committee serves our missionaries. It is a privilege to serve those who serve. Third point is, we may need to sacrifice our money. When David calls for an offering to build the house of God, the Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 8 and 9, anyone who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. The second thing about sacrifice is it is required. You know, Romans 12 verse 1 says, therefore I urge you brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. From the Garden of Eden, when God required a sacrifice from Cain and Abel, to Noah's first act of worship after the flood, a sacrifice has been required. Following the giving of the Ten Commandments, God gave specific instructions for worshiping Him by presenting sacrifices and offerings. But we are no longer required to offer blood sacrifices, for Jesus became that final sacrifice for us. Neither by the blood of the goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered once into the holy space, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12. So you might ask, if Jesus have offered the final sacrifice, then what is expected of us? According to Romans 12, we are to be living sacrifices. Let's list some things. We serve when we don't feel like it, right? We give when we don't have much. We forgive when it's hard to do so. And we rejoice even when we are hurting. Pastor Benjamin Musyoka from Kenya was here a couple of weeks ago and shared the challenges he faces while serving in Nairobi, Kenya. One day, as I was driving him to a place a couple of weeks ago, he said, Sonny, missions is such a hard thing to do, and sometimes I feel, why do I need to do this? I could have been doing something else and making money, but why am I doing this? And felt like quitting, but when I think of what God had done for me, I feel it worth every minute. He's been doing the missions for 30 years. Why do you think Pastor Benjamin felt like that? Is that normal for a missionary to feel? I have some missionaries over here. I'm sure some of you might have felt it. They could be doing any regular job just like us and make comfortable salary to take care of their families, but chose to heed to God's calling and spread the gospel. Do you know sometimes God allows us to suffer so that through our experience we might help others? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all trouble so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." If you were to ask any missionary, why do you do the things you do? They would answer with one word, Jesus. Nate Saint was one of the five missionaries who died at the hands of Aqua Indians, the very people they were attempting to reach. He was quoted as saying, "People who do not know the Lord ask why in the world we waste our lives as missionaries. They forget that they too are expanding their lives. And when the bubble has burst, they will have nothing of eternal significance to show for the years they have wasted." End of quote. Thank God, their wives later went back to the jungles and to the people who had killed their husbands and led them to Christ. We don't have to go to Europe or to Africa to be a missionary. We can have a part in missions right here at home, giving our time, our money, and our will to God. It is costly, it requires something, but friend, it is worth it. It pays in eternal dividends. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 14 and 15 says, "For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." Famous 19th century missionary Hudson Taylor. When missionary Hudson Taylor was on his way to China, he was confronted one day by the ship's captain. He said, "Taylor, do you think the heathen will be lost if you don't go to China?" Taylor said, "Sir, I think the heathen are lost. That's why I'm going to China." Great quote. A missionary is a Christian so in love with Jesus that he desires nothing more than to live for him and to make him known to others. I want to focus on this next map. This is a picture of a 10 by 40 window. I'm sure most of you know about this. I want to focus on this map on the screen. According to the latest report from Joshua Project website, world's population is almost 8 billion as of today. And in that, approximately 3.5 billion people are in the unreached groups. Around the world, 90% of the mission's funds is going to reached groups, and only 10% is going to the unreached groups. If you see the 1040 window that is highlighted here on the screen, out of the 30 missionaries this church supports, we have almost 10 serving in the region, the one that's highlighted with the stars. We need to change that. My vision, and will be the vision of Missions Committee and Woodbridge Community Church in 2023 and beyond, is to increase our church support to missionaries in this region. I had few missionaries from this region who had reached out to me in the last few months to partner with our church. The Missions Committee in the next few weeks is going to go meeting over these requests and prayerfully consider adding them to our list. I would like to extend the request to each one of my fellow believers in Christ to pray and support this cause of reaching the unreached groups in the 1040 window. We have a very diverse group of missionaries whose main focus groups are unreached regions of this world. Our church supports few local missionaries who are church planters and some who are working in colleges and universities with local and foreign students like Keisha. Our church supports missionaries who are working directly with local churches in other countries, training, supporting, and equipping them with necessary resources. Our church supports missionaries in Europe, Africa, North America, and different parts of Asia. Our church supports missionaries serving in Europe among the Middle Eastern refugees in the harshest of conditions, in refugee camps, and in some undisclosed locations of the world. And they are reaching and preaching the gospel to the unreached. Our church supports a weekly food distribution program for children in Philippines and Kenya. This church does that. And also, our church started the I-320 program where we support the education for underprivileged children in Philippines. This year, we were able to open a new location into Mana region and support children in that area. And per Brother Jonathan Smith, the response from this church is tremendous, and we were able to sponsor every child. You may have heard Brother Johnson Smith share his goal to take this program to other countries and support children with food, clothing, and education. Let us make it our goal. All these missionaries, I call, are the frontline warriors of Christ, doing his work diligently, facing many hardships. Let us as a body of Christ come together today to recognize and pray for them. I want to present a few things to our congregation to take home today. At the end of the day, when you walk out and think about it, what you have heard today, I want you to consider these things. Firstly, I want you to pray for our missionaries who are fighting the daily battles and still reaching out to the unreached with the gospel. Pray for their families, ministries, and their needs. Pray that God gives them strength in their times of despair and that he gives them the sound mind and wisdom to continue to preach the gospel. We also have a wall of missionaries outside from this door in the hallway. Please say a prayer for those missionaries as you walk by that wall. Secondly, pre-COVID, Woodbridge Community Church was conducting International Mission Fair every year. I don't know how many of you remember that. Next year, Missions Committee would like to revive their fair to raise funds to support special projects of our missionaries and add more missionary support in the unreached regions. I humbly request our growth group leaders to be part of this and continually pray for it. The third thing is the Missions Committee meet on last Monday of every month. I personally invite you to attend our missions meeting. Almost every month we have a missionary who joins us to give an update on their ministry. We go over new missionaries who want to join our support list. It's such a blessing to hear their stories and what God is doing in their lives. The series, the Holy Spirit is your helper. If you really need to know what the Holy Spirit is doing in the world, you need to hear the stories from these missionaries. Lastly, Acts 1, chapter 8, talks about how the Holy Spirit gives us the power and the strength. And this is not just for our missionaries, but to each one of you. Those that support missionaries become partners with them in their mission. That's why Woodbridge Community Church and others have sent support missionaries with our financial donations. We know that it costs money for them to remain there sharing the good news to the people. By supporting them, we become partners with them. We are part of that mission. That's one reason why your giving to the church is vitally important, so that our missionaries can continue God's work. Pastor Frank always talks about the two banners that we have over here. Let's all read what these banners are talking about, because this is the end, what we'll be seeing in heaven. In Genesis chapter 22, verses 17 and 18, it says, Abraham, I will surely bless you and make you descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. The last book in the Bible talks about Revelation 5, verse 9, 10, and 12. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God's persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. In a loud voice they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Amen. Today I want to close with a testimony I heard this past weekend. As I was preparing this sermon, and I was preparing this with Pastor Frank and other pastors, I really wanted something as a conclusion, and I was praying about it, and I had that testimony last Friday, and I heard this. And I want to share this with you guys. This morning, we have late Pastor Moses, Joseph Moses, wife Annie Moses from India amongst us in this congregation. She lost her husband last year due to COVID while serving food supplies to poor and needy. Her family went through a very tough time and are still unable to cope with the loss of her husband, who was the pillar of their ministry. In May 2021, when Pastor Moses died, the landlord where his church is renting the place gave Annie 3 months to pay the rent, or else they need to close the church and move out immediately. This was right after he passed away. She herself was affected with COVID and had a mild heart attack. In such a situation, there was no source for her to pay the rent. She needed to pay $8,850 as rent for the whole year, She was in despair and started crying out to the Lord. She was mourning her loss of her husband, and she herself was in the hospital along with her mom, who was in coma, who went into coma right after COVID. Most of their source of income stopped with Pastor Moses passing away. Last year, in October, around this time, Woodbridge Community Church stepped forward and conducted Mission Sunday to raise funds for Pastor Moses' family. Woodbridge Community Church immediately sent that amount to her in India to pay the landlord for the rent. Here's the catch. The landlord asked her to pay $8,850. Woodbridge Community Church raised $8,853.06. We raised the exact amount. The amount we raised that Sunday was the exact amount she needed to pay the rent. This is how the Holy Spirit became a helper. The same Holy Spirit that is in me and you moved each one of us to raise the amount to save a church thousands of miles away from being closed. This is how the Holy Spirit helps each one of us. Though Annie Moses is not completely out of the situation, as she still needs to raise the amount every year to keep the church her husband built from running, and the landlord has a contract where he will be raising her rent by 10% every year. But she has full faith in our Lord that he will surely guide her every year. During that difficult time, it was the Holy Spirit who helped through and is still helping them to overcome and continue to run the ministry. She, along with her young daughters, Fanny and Joni, are running the ministry. It's not the same as it was, but they are making through it with the Holy Spirit's guidance and comfort. Today we have some of our missionaries present here. As I said, you can recognize them wearing lace and are sitting in the front row. Please take a few moments today to meet with them after service. You may hear a story or two from them on how the Holy Spirit is giving them the strength and power to do the ministry, and how the Holy Spirit is comforting them during difficult times. Let us open our hearts and ears for these missionaries today. Please pray with them and pray for them when you meet them outside under the tents. Get to know their ministry and pray if God is leading you to partner with them in their ministry. Some of them have come from long distance. They could be anywhere today, but they came here to share God's vision together with us. I want to end it with this verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. At this time, I request our missionaries to please come on, and if you can stand here below the steps, request our music team to please come on too. I request Pastor Frank to please come and say a prayer to our missionaries.
All of you to stand. And in biblical times, we would come up and lay hands on them, but can we just extend a hand? Extend a hand. As we pray this morning, we're celebrating the mission of Jesus that has been happening in the world for 2,000 years and is happening today. As we enter into prayer, we're going to pray a blessing over those who've been called to serve in the capacity that they're doing right now in the 21st century. Father, we thank you, God, for this glorious day that you've made, and we rejoice in the beauty of this day. God, we thank you for so many things, and we are so blessed as we walk upon this earth today. God, our blessings are abundant, and they all come from you. Lord, we thank you for your love that you've shown us through your Son, Jesus. And we praise you, Jesus, for your sacrifice that has been poured out into each and every one of our lives, that has washed our sins away as far as from the east as to the west. We are grateful, Lord, for forgiveness and redemption and regeneration. We're thankful for new life and new birth that you've given us through Christ and through the ministry of the Spirit of the living God. And we thank you, Spirit of the living God, that you have come to help us to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Spirit of the living God, our helper, our counselor, our advocate. We pray for your filling upon our brothers and sisters who stand before you today. We pray, Lord God, that you would give them a power to be witnesses in their area of ministry. We pray that you would encourage them. May they be encouraged today within the body of Christ, within the family of Jesus. We ask, Lord, that you would give them power, courage, love, sound thinking. Help them, Lord, not to be afraid. God, we pray today that they would just sense that you are near, and remind them once again that they're not alone, that there are many who stand with them and who pray for them. Lord, we thank you for this little church at 5000 Breaker Parkway, and we with honor take our place on the wall of the kingdom of Jesus as we endeavor to be the people that you've called us to be and do what you've asked us to do, as we come to meet Jesus and know Jesus and follow Jesus. In following you, Lord, we praise you, God, for your mission work around the world. Thank you indeed, Lord, that we do not sit in a church. The church is not a place where we sit. It's a movement that we became a part of the day we said yes to Jesus. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon your people today, we pray. We ask this for your glory and in your most awesome name. Those who love Jesus would say, can we give our missionaries a round of applause? You guys are the heroes, man. So here's the deal. We're going to sing another song, and our missionaries are going to go out those doors, and they're going to be there. And I want you to if you would, greet them and meet them and say thank you to them. Not now. We're going to be singing a really cool song here, but we're going to give them a little head start to go out there and be there. So I want you today just to let them know that they're loved and they're appreciated. Okay? So as they're leaving, we're going to sing a very special song.